Welcome back to Book Hype. This is episode 142, where we're going to be talking about all things literary social media. So anything from BookTube to Instagram to Twitter, how we get book recommendations, who we trust to give us the books that we read. And we have a short staff today because of Comic-Con, but I'm Brittany and I'm joined by Kristen, and we're going to hold down the fort this week. Right, Kristen?
Absolutely. Yeah, Karen's running around like a crazy person for the next, day and a half or so.
Yeah, Comic-Con has taken over Hypeable, but we're here to keep the book news rolling. And if you want to get in touch with us or find out all the stuff that we're up to on social media, then you can follow us on Twitter at BookHype. Our cool, awesome Facebook page run by dear friend Danielle is facebook.com/hypeablebooks. And you can follow us on Goodreads at Hypeable Books. So let's kick off this week with what we've been up to and what we've been reading. And Kristen, do you want to kick us off?
Surely. Okay, so I read and reviewed Trust by Kylie Scott, which you can read my review on Hypeable. It's her first YA book. She's done a lot of romance. She had one particularly successful series, the Stage Dive series, which I've talked about before, and I love. Her newest one, the Dive Bar series, is great too. She's about halfway through that, working on it. But Trust is her first like real try at the YA genre, and she did a fantastic job with this book. I really, really loved it. It's not exactly easy subject matter, considering that the first chapter, and this is giving nothing away because she says it in every, like it's in the blurb and all of that. The first chapter is your heroine being stuck in the middle of a convenience store robbery and like how that affects her life, like what and how that affects what goes on from there. And of course the hero is there that day too, so he's the only one who kind of understands what she's going through. And it's a really good book and a really good story, and it's definitely one that I would recommend to anyone to read. But I'm keeping like a list of books that when my niece is old enough to actually like appreciate high school level stuff, like once she's in high school and is ready for them, I'm like, oh my God, you have to read all these books here. Like, give her a list.
That's such a good idea. Cause my niece comes over all the time and she just sits on, so my books are really low to the ground and she just sits and goes through them all. And she sees the books that are like popular, you know, like The Fault in Our Stars and stuff. But she's like just a year or two too young to be reading them, even though I know she's seen the movies, but there's just something about them where I'm like, maybe next year or something. So yeah. I do keep thinking, I'm like, oh, I want her to read this and I want her to read that, but she's just not quite there yet. But that's a good idea to make a list.
Yeah, I mean, she's 9, so she's got a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I mean, 13, 14 is when I think most of them are probably going to be more, you know, more her speed and stuff she's actually interested in. So right now, like I gave her, Karen has gotten copies of all of the Melissa De La Cruz, the Disney series, the one with like the Descendants.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think it is Karen's, called the Descendants,
yeah,
isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. Karen's gotten those from the publisher. And so I've gotten to share those with her, which she's been really excited about. Like, here, you can have the book like 2 weeks early. And she's like, what? So stuff like that has been really fun. But yeah, but Trust is going on that list because it's a really, really solid, good story. So if anybody's looking for something a little more YA, a little less like romance heavy, Trust is really, really good. And the secondary characters in that are actually really awesome too. And I don't know if she has plans to do anything with them, because usually her books kind of cross over somewhat, like they don't always get connected, but I know like that her newest series kind of ties in with Stage Dive. Like it's not the same group of people. You're barely ever going to see the other group, but they exist in the same universe. Mm-hmm. If she decided to write more books in Trust's world, like from the other character's POV or whatever, that would be welcome, because she really does flesh out the world well and give you a lot of different really interesting characters. So we'll have to see if that happens. The other book that I read this week is Pipe Dreams by Serena Bowen. Sonia has been screaming at the top of her lungs for me to catch up on all my Serena stuff. And I had read the first two in the Brooklyn Bruisers series. I think that's what it's called. The Rookie Move and Hard Hitter are the first two books, and they're great. I really loved Hard Hitter. But I knew that Pipe Dreams was one that Sonia just absolutely fell head over heels for. She told me she read it like 3 or 4 times before release day. So I was like, crap, like I need to read this book. And I needed the audiobook because I didn't have time to read it with all of my other stuff that I have to get done, you know, reviews and whatnot. So I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for this audiobook, and it finally came in. So I listened to that this week, and it is great, just like all of Serena's stuff. Like, she's awesome. This one it's in the Brooklyn Bruiser series, so it's about the goalie that plays for the team. And this time the heroine is a girl that we met in the first two. Her name's Lauren. She's the owner's like assistant, and she's been around the team forever, but moved out of the hockey side of his work because she couldn't deal with being there anymore because of complicating factors that, of course, you learn about in the book. And like, their story is so crazy, and just it's really well done, and it involves some, you know, not so awesome, like kind of sad issues as well, but it's just a solid story. I've really liked this series from her. It has a different feel than the Harkness books, which will always be close to my heart. But it touches on the hockey world, and getting into all of that with like professional level guys has been a really, really fun experience. So I'm looking forward to, I don't know if she has other books. I know she's got to have at least one more in mind for this, because there's a pairing she's been like hyping since the first book, and they keep appearing, and you see other people kind of learn that they're kind of together, and it's been a thing. So I know she has at least one more in her. I don't know how many more, but I will definitely be checking the rest of these out.
I always like listening to you talk about these series, because it just makes me realize how well these authors interconnect their worlds, and like, they must have like crazy maps on their, like, you know, walls or something, just being like, well, if I lay the groundwork for this character, then I can talk about this character. Ooh, this is going to be really exciting. Let's put this detail in and then give a book about that. So it's always cool.
Like, it floors me. I know some writers, like, as they go, kind of find a character. Like, they start a series, someone pops up because they need a secondary character to do this, and then later on they're like, oh yeah, okay, I love this guy, he's definitely the one for her, or he's definitely the guy that needs to be with him, or whatever. I know that that happens, but then there are pairings that you know that they're secretly plotting the whole time, that you're like, I need to just sneak little things into the first book. The second book can be a little more obvious. The third book, I'm just going to smack them over the head with the with the tension that's just kind of hanging in there. And it's one of those, in this series, that pairing is kind, they're both so oblivious to the other. Like, they both kind of have a thing, and neither one wants to talk about it, and they both won't acknowledge it. And so that has been really fun to like watch as the other, you know, romances in the series are going on. You've also got this pair that just will not acknowledge what is happening. And so in this book, you finally get an inkling that they both are acknowledging it. So now I'm really like hoping she does their book next, because I'm like, all right, you've teased us enough. Now it's time to deliver.
Yeah, that's awesome. So in my corner of the world, I have finished finally The Golden Compass. Actually, I was reading it so consistently just at the beach, and I was going to the beach every Saturday, and for some reason always ended up sitting behind the same couple, because one of the husband was a fisherman, so he always set up at the same spot, and I was like, oh, I'll sit behind them again. And the woman was like, were you here last week? I recognized your book, because it's really gold and reflective, the cover. And so I was like, yeah, I'm finally done with it though. So now I haven't started The Subtle Knife yet, but I can't wait to find the time to dig into the rest of this series, because it's just, it's so good. I can't wait to finish it. But Karen actually has been doing a great job of keeping me busy with thrillers and mysteries and all sorts of new books. So I am going to be interviewing Jin Phillips, who is the author of Fierce Kingdom, next week, and that'll be on Hypeable. But the book has been so good. It's about this mother who routinely takes her son to the zoo, but then, you know, some stuff goes down at the zoo and they're trapped there, and she like taps into like all of these like just like primal instincts to just like, you know, survive and like hide in these like renovated enclosures and like, you know, break into things to get food. And it's really suspenseful because you don't know what's going on, and yet they don't, because you're really with this woman and her son the whole book, and like you're not sure if anyone's coming in to like get them out. And it's so cool. I think it's really good, and it's being adapted for TV, I believe, or no, movies. It was bought by Margot Robbie's studio. So
that just sounds cool. I mean, I used to work for the Toledo Zoo. And so I've been there, like, when the zoo is closed, like, when no one is around. Like, I've been in the zoo when that happens. So I can't imagine, like, a book where someone is trapped there. Like, that sounds really cool. I wouldn't have, you know, it's not something you necessarily think about, but that sounds awesome, actually.
Yeah, and it's not like zoo, like James Patterson Zoo level, like with that show that for some reason is still on the air 3 seasons later with, like, yeah, you know, crazy animals and stuff. It's just, it's a totally... From the outskirts, like, let's all be completely real. Karen sent it to me, and I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, no. It's going to be adapted. Like, I really think it's going to be good. And I'm like, all right, fine. So I started reading it, and it is really good. So don't let the zoo-ness – I think that's what really turned me off was the zoo series. I was like, you know what? I don't need someone trapped in a zoo and, like, radioactive animals and stuff.
Right.
Like, she's like, no, don't look at it like that. I was like, okay.
There doesn't need to be plutonium involved with every, like, let's just leave that be. Let's just leave that over there. It can be a book about actual, like an actual zoo. Let's leave it at that. That sounds cool though.
Yeah, no, it's been really good. I have a few more chapters left to finish up before the interview this week, but it's turned out to be really great. And then another book I got in the mail this week was All Things New by Lauren Miller. And I did not have time to start reading this book, which means naturally I started reading it. And
naturally?
Yeah, yep. Naturally. You know, it's fine. So Lauren Miller, she has two other books, YA books out. And this is about a 17-year-old named Jessa who has a panic disorder. And, you know, she gets into an accident and ends up having to – she decides to go live with her father who lives in Colorado. She moves from Los Angeles. You know, she really likes to, like, retreat into herself, and she has all these, like, coping mechanisms, and her story is just really captivating. And when I read it, I was like, I don't know. Again, me with these blurbs, I don't know who's writing blurbs recently, but they're just not captivating me until I actually start reading the books. So I think I'm going to – it's like, don't judge a book by its cover. I'm going to stop reading blurbs and just maybe judge a book by its cover, because it'll get me more into it.
There have been some great covers, so.
Yeah, covers have been really stepping up their game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I am really enjoying it. I am about halfway through the book, and it's a really great story about just, like, it doesn't even matter that they're 17, 18. It's just, it's a really great story about just, you know, finding out that you can cope with more than maybe your mind is willing to let you believe you can. So I'm really, really enjoying that. And I also, I want to start reading this book so badly, but again, I have to get through Fierce Kingdom first this week. But I have The Ready-Made Thief, which is another book that Karen passed along to me because we're going to be interviewing the author, Augustus Rose. Oh, it just looks so good. It it has like conspiracy theories, secret societies, art history, and like, you know, hackers. And I'm like, all right, just give me this book. And I have it on my nightstand and I cannot wait to start reading it. So hopefully that'll be up for discussion soon on the podcast. But until then, Kristen, let's hear about a deal of the day.
Yes. Okay. So we're going to keep trying this until we find a solution that truly works. Because I know one of them last week was still on sale when the book or when the episode came out, because I know that a couple of readers picked it up. So I'm glad you guys are actually being able to use this, because that was the whole goal. This week, the one I'm recommending is Nova by Rebecca Yarros. I've talked about this, this series before. It's The Renegades. The third book in the series, Rebel, comes out in August. I actually just got the arc like 3 days ago, and I'm already about a quarter of the way, maybe a third of the way into the book, and I'm loving it. It's about an extreme sports like team club kind of thing. Like these four or five people are the original Renegades, and they're the ones whose books you're getting. The first book is called Wilder, and right now I think it's $4 or so for the ebook on Amazon, which isn't too bad. But the second book, Nova, which came out earlier this year, is only 99 cents right now. It's absolutely fantastic. I loved Wilder, but when I got a chance to read Nova, like, it's a different kind of story. Wilder was all about the main guy, like the guy who started it all, Paxton Wilder, and the girl that, like, he invites this girl because he basically, there's a whole confluence of events that kind of got her on their college ship. Like the Renegades have sponsored this ship to be a university so that they can make this extreme sports film while also attending school, because it was like necessary. I forget why, but yeah, the whole series is great. They're really, really well written. The stories are really, like, honestly complex, rather than, you know, some romances are pretty simple. They, you know, they stick to the normal tropes and the things that you see on a normal basis. But there's just something about Wilder and Nova that she went above and beyond. She packs a lot into those books, and I've really, really loved them. So Nova is on sale for 99 cents right now. Check it out. Rebel is the third book, and it comes out, I think, in about a month, sometime in August. And Rebel is actually about the female member of the team, Penna, which has been the one that I've been waiting for. Like, as soon as they introduced all three of them, I was like, oh my God, I need Penna's book. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting through that too. So I hope you guys enjoy, and I hope it's still on sale when this episode ends.
I know, it's always like, here's a great recommendation. We have to get this episode up right now because we don't want it to expire.
Yeah, I hope it's still there. It should be, because it sounded like this was going to be on sale for a little while. So cross our fingers.
Awesome. All right, so our book bites this week is something that I thought kind of bridges on literary social media, because YouTube is technically kind of a form of social media, I feel. So I wanted to talk about BookTube and whether or not we watch it, whether or not we know about it, because I found out as we were about to record this episode that Kristen's not entirely sure about it. So I figured we could just kick off the episode kind of talking about BookTube and how it differs from podcasts and some of the perks and advantages of it and all about it. I recently went to my YouTube page and clicked on my subscriptions and realized that I still am subscribed to a ton of BookTube pages that I used to watch on the regular, like all the time. So I did a quick scroll of the people who I was subscribed to and realized that most of them are still making new content all of the time. So about books, and I haven't been in a YouTube zone lately. I guess I've sort of checked out of YouTube. I guess it's just because I don't have as much time to sit down and watch video. So I've really gone over to podcasts, and because I can listen to those while I drive, I can listen to them while I do other things, whereas YouTube's a very visual, you have to sit down and watch it, except for John Green Sports with Hank channel, because I listen to those like podcasts, like when he's playing FIFA and then, you know, he's just talking about a subject and then all of a sudden he starts screaming at the FIFA game. So I do still listen to those pretty regularly, but BookTube. So it's YouTube personalities, hosts, whatever you want to call them, whose channels are all about books. And most of them follow the same sort of book tags. Like there's a BookTube-a-thon where every day is a different, like, you know, you post seven consecutive videos or for however long it runs, and every day is a different thing. So, like, here's my to be read list. Here's an episode about covers. Here's an episode about, like, you know, my top 10 books of the year. Or generally, they give reviews of books and talk about just all everything about books from writing to reading, what they're reading, what they like, what they don't like. Again, adaptations. You cannot talk about books without talking about adaptations, I feel like. So, they're pretty great, I
Yeah.
think. I'm all for them.
Okay. So, BookTube. I have never been like a YouTube addict, I guess would be the word. I don't know. Like, YouTube came about while, like, it really kind of came into its prime, like, right after slash at the very end of my college career. So, like, for the most part, if it's on YouTube, I don't know about it. Like, unless Karen's telling me about it, which she does, you know, when there's things I need to see just for, you know, pop culture knowledge and general, you know, general upkeep of my pop culture library in my head, she'll tell me about it and I'll make sure to watch it. Or my little brother used to do that too for me. Like, he'd tell me stuff that I absolutely had to watch and, you know, I'd be up to date on a few things. It's like why I know what Smosh is. Otherwise, I'd have no idea. But yeah, when it comes to YouTube, like, I've just never fully been immersed in the world. Like, I know how popular YouTubers are. Like, if you go to indie pop, you can't not be inundated with all of the different YouTubers and just how insane all of the different things that they talk about. Like, there are people with channels that, you know, talk about topics I would never have thought that someone would be interested in, you know, listening to watching a video or listening to a video about, but just really cool stuff. So I am blissfully ignorant when it comes to YouTube, especially for the book world. Like, I just have never experienced it. When I saw that this was going to be Book Bites, I was like, okay, I need to at least have a working knowledge of what BookTube is. So I kind of Googled and did a little bit of looking around, and it, you know, it surprised me how different some of the, like, the channels that you could get are. The one list that I found was like based on personality traits. So it was like, if you like quirky books, or if you like, you know, I mean, romance was a quote unquote personality trait in this list, but, you know, like, they kind of did it a little differently than usual, like, do it by genre or do it by that. And so I was like, wow, like, it just, there's so much stuff out there. And, you know, whatever corner of the book world you love, like, there really is a YouTuber who's, you know, reading exactly what you want, or someone on Twitter who knows what kind of books you're into. It's so cool.
Yeah, and I was re-looking through just like recent uploads of the people that I used to watch, and just like there are the book haul videos are like insane. Like I think that I have a problem like buying books, but it's just unbelievable like just how many books people have, and like a lot of the channels talk about, you know, just the overwhelming amount of books and like what it takes to read them. And you know, some of the videos are just so like on. So for example, Arielle Bissett is a booktuber who I watched just religiously. I watched everything she put out, and oh my gosh, she put out so many videos in the past like year that there's no hope for me to ever catch up. But some of them are like, why am I still on BookTube? Like, you know, why do BookTubers make book hauls? Like, all of the questions that you want asked about BookTube are pretty much on her channel as well. You know, she's also
Nice.
doing the challenges. There's always then book reviews. So the challenges are like books I'll probably never read, like, you know, or the makeup book tag, because there's always a makeup tag for anything on YouTube. And just, you know, things about writing. She writes her own poetry, and like there's a whole section on her channel just about poetry, which I might actually watch a few videos of because I love poetry. Yeah, and just, you know, all sorts of just interesting things. And there's also like people who I found through Hank Green and just Rosianna Hals Rojas, who works with John Green, you know, some of her friends and just YouTube, you know, adjacent people are making book channels and talking about all things books. And I always watched, you know, Books and Quills, and Rosianna does her own book specific videos, which I always check out. Sometimes I don't have time to watch all of her videos, but when I do, I usually make sure I hit the book ones because she always has great book recommendations, and she's good for that on Twitter too, which we'll get to in a little bit. But just, I can't believe how many book channels I was and still am subscribed to, even if I haven't been actively on top of things. But they do talk about, you know, reading wrap-ups and stuff. Some of the same topics that we talk about, what they're really, some of the cooler videos, like there's one on here that is UK versus US book covers. Like, that's not something we could really do in a podcast environment, but, you know, you could do on YouTube. You can show visually show
book covers.
Yeah, the book covers. And then, you know, there's also just like the sheer amount, like us talking about how many books versus like seeing someone hold up a stack of books. It's just like right now. So I'm sitting in my room, and whenever we do book hype, I grab all of the books that like I'm currently reading or I'm going to be picking up, and they're just like strewn across the room. Like, some of them are on the floor, one of them's on my desk, and like I keep turning around to look at my nightstand to see what's there, you know. So they're just like, it's not as pretty as BookTube. Behind the scenes of book hype is it's kind of a mess. I'm also in my pajamas. So
I mean, yeah, that's the thing, is we can do this in our pajamas. We don't have to worry about what our hair looks like, which is awesome. But yeah, no, I'm the same way. As soon as I'm getting ready to do book hype, I have to grab my Kindle, because so many of my ARCs are on Kindle now, like our e-ARCs, that I have to like scroll through, like, what the heck have I read? Like, that's a number one. But I always keep a stack right by my bed of my physical ARCs, like the stuff that I've been sent, that I keep them in order, like from furthest away to most, you know, must be read now. And so I always I'm like looking at the top of that stack, like, have I actually cracked? No, I haven't gotten into any of those. So like, yeah, it becomes a giant mess. Like, books just end up everywhere because, okay, I've read that one, I haven't read that one, this one needs to be done first. Like, yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, I think my nightstand is pretty much just like the top picks where I'm like, oh yeah, these are books that I constantly need in accessible at all times. So it's like my whole Sherlock Holmes collection, which is weighing down my nightstand. And then I have just like a copy of Pride and Prejudice and some Irving Welsh books and American Gods, because I was using that like all the time when the series was on, you know. Then the Golden Compass and all of Philip Pullman's books are here. So, and then plus everything else I'm reading, like I don't have room on my nightstand for a water bottle. So it's pretty bad.
It happens. It definitely happens.
But we kind of like touched on this a little bit, and it's kind of the perfect segue into what we're here to talk about, which is literary social media. And when you think social media, I'm more attuned to think of Twitter and Instagram, especially for books. Facebook pages, I think, are a whole nother animal. I like our Facebook page because it's book news. It's where I'm going to get news stories. But Twitter and Instagram, I feel like, work a little differently. Sure, you're still getting your news, but I feel like they're more catered towards recommendations and who you're choosing to trust for those recommendations based on the person that you're following. So whereas Facebook is sort of just like, here's the news, here's what we're promoting, here's exactly what you need to know in the article that you can go to get this information. Whereas in Twitter, if it's someone I'm following and they're like, oh my God, I just finished this book, I'm like more inclined to take that advice because it's connected to that person that I'm choosing to trust with their recommendations. So,
curate your Twitter follows, like the people you follow are the people who have either expressed the same like opinions and ideas that you have, like you're following them for a reason. So if they're recommending things, like, you just feel more inclined to lean into them rather than somebody who does recommendations, you know, all the time, and they're, you know, may not know exactly the kind of things you're into. It's just a different idea. And I totally know what you mean because I do the same thing.
We took some time to curate just people who we personally follow and trust for recommendations and just talk about them a little bit so that, you know, we can help people follow people that we trust. But also we reached out to our listeners and we got a couple of responses back about who they trust to follow. Kristen, do you want to give us a couple of your recommendations and why you find them so great?
Okay. So when it comes to book recs, for the most part, I get them from authors or from like authors' social media accounts. Like a lot of the romance world, if you like an author, they have a fan group on Facebook. And if you're in the fan group, like most of those do a rec thread every week where people come in and say what they've read that week. And, you know, sometimes they're brand new, sometimes they're old, whatever. But I can get a lot of my recommendation stuff from there. So honestly, like, I don't necessarily follow anybody who's not an author or like an agent or somebody who's kind of already involved in the world. So with the exception of a couple of the ones that our readers, that our listeners supplied, so I don't want to steal from them either. I was scrolling through my Twitter because that's more or less where I get most of my like news on a daily basis. I'm not as much an Instagram person. I'm working on that. I blame my old dead phone. But I did have a couple of accounts that are book related. They're not necessarily rec related, but they're so much fun. And just, we never get a chance to really talk about like the silly things. And so I was like, while we're here, I know we're talking mostly about recs, but while we're here, I want to make sure to mention these. So for me, I don't know if you've ever heard of New Adult Hero, which is at Typical NA Hero, New Adult Heroine, at Heroine of NA. Both of them are basically accounts that say the typical new adult things. So like they'll randomly tweet stuff about, you know, having a big test or needing coffee because those are things that you do when you're in college. Like new adult heroes tend to be college age, you know, they're getting into the world. And these are like parody accounts almost. Mm-hmm. And it's just, they're so much fun. Like they're silly, but every so often they'll like nail it, like just absolutely, you know, knock it out of the park and tweet stuff that just has me dying. There's also like Brooding YA Hero, which I also follow, who's hilarious. Again, it's the same kind of thing. It's kind of a parody account, but good fun. And the one that I actually like love because it's so random is Pungent Love, which is at Pungent Love on Twitter, which is all about the like what romance heroes and heroines smell like.
That's amazing.
It's literally an account that does nothing but talk about what people are described as smelling like. It's hilarious. And it's so much fun because you read this stuff and you read the description of a smell and like, you know what they mean and you kind of move on. But like some of these are insane and some, you know, like it's just, you don't necessarily give it its due because you're too busy trying to get into the story. But to read after the fact, like, it's like, holy cow, they really did just say that. Like, that's insane. Some of these are random and I don't even know what they're from. But like this one, she was like a cream cake with an added hint of lemon, familiar and comforting in aroma. And yet when one got close enough, like just insanely crazy descriptions. And some of them are like out there and some of them are really, you know, specific and just great. Absolutely great. So I don't have any rec threads to recommend, although you will get plenty of those coming up because I know Brittany's got some and our readers really came through. But if you're looking for some book related stuff to just kind of brighten your day, here you go.
That's great. And I will probably follow all of those, especially the smell one, because I think that's hilarious.
It's really great. Like when I first heard about it, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. But you know, now that I've been, you know, inundated with it, now it makes me laugh. I'm just, oh, what did they find this week? Like what's, you know, what book did they get into this week that has some really random, you know, description? It cracks me up.
That's great. Yeah. So my recommendations are really all over the place. So I am a huge Instagram fan. Like, if I could quit every social media, I would keep Instagram because Twitter's kind of gone off the rails lately. You kind of have to really,
understand.
Really pick out, you know, and really cater your feed now to what you want to see. So there's a lot of stuff you don't. But Instagram is amazing. And if you just go into like the search tab and just keep scrolling, it kind of like, you know, caters stuff to what you usually click on. And a lot of them are just like celebrities, children, because I just, apparently that's what I like. And cookie decorating. Those are two big ones that always pop up in my search recommendations. I find the cookie decorating videos so soothing at night. It's like my detox from the day. I'll just watch literally like 45 minutes of just people piping icing onto cookies because it's so satisfying.
I can turn on and watch the Great British Bake Off and feel so calmed.
Oh, it's
and
so calming.
Yeah, so I know what you mean. It's just very soothing.
It's amazing.
To watch people decorate pastries. It's really fantastic.
Oh, I love it so much. So there's that. I highly recommend that, even though it's not book related. I'm sure there's someone decorating a book cake or something that you can watch. But on Instagram, my favorite account to follow for books is from, it's just the Berkeley Pub account. And so they do a lot of book cover related stuff where they're just like, you know, posting the new books that are coming out, but they're like on these awesome like wooden tables with an iced coffee next to it. And I'm like, oh, I want that to be my life. So it's really pretty. I recommend following publishers on Instagram because they're always posting their books in like really nice and aesthetically pleasing places. And they also provide little blurbs about the books, which is good. That's how I found a few different series that I've wanted to check out or have added to my to-be-read list, mainly because they make the covers look so good. So like I was saying earlier, I'm not reading blurbs anymore. The covers just look really good next to an iced coffee. And I'm like, well, all right, that's fine. I can get an iced coffee and have that cover there. So
that fits into what I want my life to look like.
Yes.
Like I want to sit at that little bistro table in the corner and read my book. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, so for aesthetically pleasing book covers juxtaposed next to some brunch favorites with an iced coffee, definitely check out Berkeley Pub on Instagram. For more serious literary recommendations, I have a few people who I follow just not even originally for book-related reasons, just because I liked their writing. And since then, they've kind of catapulted into the people that I go to for book recommendations. And most of them are from BuzzFeed and work. Isaac Fitzgerald, who heads up the BuzzFeed books section. He is one who is always reading and talking to and meeting interesting people in the book world with like crazy intersections of just ideas and storytelling. And I really like his recommendations, even though some of them are really out there. It's just a person who I go to if I need something new and that I wouldn't have heard of elsewhere. So Isaac Fitzgerald, he's just at Isaac Fitzgerald. And then Sashi Cole, she is so funny on Twitter, and she just put out her first book, which is now being adapted for television, and I have it ordered. It's actually coming this week from Amazon, and I'm really excited to finally read it. She's just very funny, and I love all of her book recommendations. She has the same sort of taste in new adult YA that I do, so I really enjoyed following her, and I can't wait to read her book because if it's anything like her Twitter feed, it's going to be amazing. her writing is also great on BuzzFeed if you ever want to check her out. And then Ashley Ford, this is so random. She wrote a piece for BuzzFeed. She just moved to New York literally that week with like a broken leg, wrote this amazing piece for BuzzFeed. This is a few years ago, and she was at a Rainbow Rowell event. So she became close with Rainbow Rowell on Twitter. And I found her because Rainbow Rowell tweeted out her link on BuzzFeed, and I read it and I followed her and I thought it was great. And then she was at a reading in New York that I went to that Rainbow was giving. And I've since gone to a couple of Ashley's readings in New York, where she's read some of her personal essays, and they're so fantastic. But she is like an avid reader, and her book recommendations are always fantastic. So she's on Twitter at iSmashFizzle. She's fantastic, just like a just genuinely good human being, and I love following her. Then, of course, you know, you get back to the John Greens of the world, and John Green, again, is a person who I've always taken book recommendations from. He runs on Crash Course, like, you know, Crash Course Literature. They read books sort of like an English class style, and those recommendations are anything from classics, which, you know, we've all read, or to newer books, and I always like to hear what he's reading, just because I think I just trust his voice, and I've followed him on YouTube for, God, like, almost 8 years, so we need to just, like, chill out a little bit here. Yeah, so he's one, again, always go to for book recommendations. Hank Green recently, too, has been having a lot of good, like, he's good for, like, a good sci-fi series if you ever want one, so very different set of reading from both of the Green brothers. And then, really, I trust anything that my favorite TV critics recommend, because with how much TV there is and how much time, like, we just don't have to read as avid TV viewers, because you feel like you're constantly falling behind in television. If they took the time to read something and recommend it, then I know it must be good, because I think that my TV schedule is overwhelming. These TV critics have, I don't even know how they have time to sleep with the amount of TV that they watch. They must watch 40 hours of TV a week.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and if they can find a book and want to recommend it, then I know it must have been good and worth their time.
Agreed. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, like that, I think those recs kind of, they stand out to me. Like, when I get recs from places that I don't necessarily expect to, from, you know, maybe a really busy celebrity who I know that, you know, has similar taste, or, like, you know, from a TV critic or a movie critic who actually finds the time to read this book and, like, is really adamant about it, those I always trust more. It's like, okay, I know this person doesn't necessarily have time, but if even they can make the time for it, then this book must be worth it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, like, you, and it's just like you trust their opinion already with so much, like, you know, yeah. Oh, I want to know what this person has to say about this show, or, you know, you, there are people, I think a theme here is, like, there are people that you go to for other things, and you're trusting them because you feel like they're not going to steer you wrong, or they're at least going to, it's going to be worth your time. Like, they're, you know, there's just some sort of weight to what they're recommending. So, like, with Karen, like, you know, talking all about, like, you know, Percy Jackson and stuff, like, that was not a waste of my time, because even though it's not necessarily my type of book, her enthusiasm comes through in the book so much that it just adds a different weight to me reading it.
It, yeah. It's so, so true. It's so, she got me reading them, and I enjoy them a lot, but, like, It was Karen's, like, absolute infectious enthusiasm for them that I was like, okay, clearly I need to read these. If Karen loves them that much, then there's, you know, there's something about them that I really just have to, yeah.
Yeah, and one of my friends, like, heard me talking about The Magicians so much that she finally started reading it this summer, mainly because there was an adaptation available for her to watch afterwards. So she wouldn't read it when I told her to read it the first time, but, you know, whatever, she's into it now. And she's, like, asking, she's, like, live texting me while, because she listens to them. And so she's, like, texting me while she's listening to it. And she's, like, but what about this? Because she read the first book, then watched the series. But there's a lot of stuff from the second book that's in the series. And she's, like, but this doesn't happen. And I'm, like, I told you to finish the series before you started watching the show. And there would be so many, like, less questions, but, you know, it's just, it's that thing where, like, if someone really loves something, then you're willing to, you know, give it a part of your time. Yeah. So social media, again, great for recommending books, and, you know, you go to people that you trust. And so our listeners, we had Leah Rao, who says that she really enjoys Book Riot, and that's also a great site. I do follow them and very frequently click on most of their links. And then Laura Morrow at Laura Morrow 123 says, to be super honest, you guys have the best coverage. Oh, cute.
Aw, thanks.
Thanks. And then also Epic Reads is another site that she follows. And I do not think that I follow Epic Reads, but I do know who they are.
Yeah, I follow Epic Reads. And I just love how they've like curated their identity in the book world. Like, I don't necessarily get recs from them all the time, although when they are really enthusiastic about a book, I'm definitely more, you know, apt to pick it up and give it a shot. Mm-hmm. But they have a really specific like identity. They're quirky, they're funny, they're, you know, they like, they are internet book culture. Like, I'd rather just stay home with coffee and my book. I don't need to go out in the real world kind of thing. Like, I really appreciate their Twitter and stuff. Like, it brings a smile and, you know, lovely book related humor to my day.
Yeah, I do. I also really do enjoy book like Twitters and accounts that just, you know, have that book meme element to it. And, you know, I love a good thing that makes me feel more secure about not wanting to go do anything and just sit in my house and read.
Also, Epic Reads, I think, is basically responsible for my love of, like, curated cover color pictures.
Oh.
Like, when they either do them all in one color and, like, you know, make a design with them,
yeah,
or, like, do a beautiful rainbow that actually, like, slides from one color into another. Oh, my God. I'm obsessed with, like, taking the dust jackets off now and looking at the actual book and, like, you know, it's just a thing. It's very pleasing to see all the different colors and like how they make the art or pictures out of them. It's insane. But yeah, I'm pretty sure Epic Reads is responsible for my love of that recently too.
Yeah. And if you guys have any more recommendations that we should check out or just people that you trust to follow, you can always tweet at us at BookHype, and we are always looking for new accounts to follow. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Again. So let's move into a little bit of news. Some stuff has happened in the last few weeks, and we just want to make sure everyone's on top of what's been going on in the book world. And first up, this is really exciting, and I'm probably going to spend even more money on Harry Potter books now, but Harry Potter, the animated versions so the illustrated versions are out. The first two are out. The third one's coming out. And now the ebook versions are going to be animated and in full color. So, you know, I can't obviously read it on my like first generation Kindle, which is still like that, using that like ink blotting, you know, type of technology, which I find so pleasing to the eye. But these versions are going to move. And there's a couple of previews in the article that we have up on Hypebeable.com where you can see, like, you know, like the Quidditch players come in on top of a chapter and, you know, the goblin like holds a jewel up to his eye. It's really, really cool. And I think that they'd be great for kids. Like, it's just, if I had that when I was 8, I would have freaked out reading
yeah.
it. I mean, I freaked out already reading it, but, you know, kids are very visual these days. They need a little help.
Yeah, I am mesmerized, honestly. Like, it just, I love these illustrated editions because they always come out right around my birthday.
Oh,
so
that's a nice gift.
Every year, I'm like, fam, somebody needs to get me the next one. Like, yeah. So I own the first two because they come right around my birthday, which is perfect for people who don't actually want to worry about what they're getting me. But like, these are insane. Like, I love that. I think this is what, you know, kids, I want to say kids books, because it's hard to do this with like YA or anything past YA because you don't get the illustrations in the books as often. But I feel like this is what like e-reading is meant to be. Like, this is the pinnacle. Like, if they can introduce a little bit of animation to literally make the book come alive through illustration, like that is like the next evolution of reading. And it looks so cool. And yeah, I'll probably be spending a lot of money on buying these too.
Yeah. But the best part about these is that they're only going to be $9.99.
That's awesome.
So,
I mean, still kind of expensive for an ebook, but an ebook that moves is
yeah.
different.
Yeah. I mean, some Kindle books are $9.99, and I'm like, oh, okay, like that's fine, you know, if I want to read something on my Kindle as opposed to buying the hardback. But the amount of what you're getting with this, I think that's a pretty good bargain.
It's definitely worth it. And if you think about the work that must have gone into taking the animation or the illustrations that they did for the actual book and like making them move like that, it's work, man. It's definitely worth the $10, I would say.
Yeah. And then moving on from Harry Potter, because, you know, we have a Harry Potter actor here. David Tennant is going to be lending his voice to The Wizards of Once, which is a new Krasinda Cowell book. And we were able to announce that David Tennant will be providing his voice for the audio and give a clip of him reading. So I know a lot of people know him as the Doctor. I've never watched Doctor Who, so, you know.
He's fine. Also Barty Crouch Jr.
Yes.
Harry Potter, as we kind of mentioned. Yeah.
I was like, I know him from that and a couple of British series, but not Doctor Who.
And Jessica Jones for
Jones as well. It seems like an interesting series all about wizards and their magic versus warriors. And so there's Zar, the son of the king of the wizards, can't cast a spell, and Wish, the daughter of the warrior king, who has a banned magical object, and they collide in the Wildwood on a trail of the deadly witch, and it's the start of a grand adventure that might change the fabric of their worlds. So this looks like a great book to pick up and check out. It's from, so Krasinda Cowell did How to Train Your Dragon, so already a great ground, laying the groundwork well for this series to come into.
Yeah, I've never read Krasinda Cowell. I saw How to Train Your Dragon, which I absolutely adore. That movie is fantastic. And I mean, from that movie, I tend to think of her as like a middle grade writer, which this kind of seems to fit into that same mold. But she, I've never read her, but she seems like someone I would love. Like, it seems like it's a missed opportunity. Like, I definitely need to read some of her stuff, and maybe this will be the first one I read, because I love a good narrator, and David Tennant is definitely, you know, he fits that mold for sure. So yeah, it sounds good. And I love when you get an actor to narrate something, you know, because they love it or whatever, you know, like it's not something they're necessarily related to. It's just a book that they're willing to lend their voice to, which is really cool.
Yeah. And so this comes out in October. So October is like turning into be like a huge month. It's just book after book after book after book. Every book that I think is coming out that I want is in October. It's unbelievable. I'm kind of mad that my family's like, yes, let's go on vacation in September. And I'm like, but October, I'd have so much more to read. And it would be great if we could just go after October.
Are you sure we can't postpone?
Yeah, we can't. Just can we go away for Thanksgiving, maybe? Well, anyway, speaking of October and Halloween, so J.K. Rowling has this political type of fairy tale thing in the works. And the way that this book has happened is so weird, and the story is kind of cool. So J.K. Rowling did an interview with Christiana Amanpour, who, honestly, I only knew because of Gilmore Girls.
Yep, me too. I only know her because of Rory's fascination.
Like, I kind of forget that she's a real person with an awesome political career in like covering like really hard-hitting journalism, because for a while, you know, in my misguided youth, I was like, oh, it's just a fake person that Rory likes, until she showed up for real at the end of Gilmore Girls.
And you're like, wait, what?
I'm like, wait, hold on. Christiane Amanpour, real person, real awesome journalism career.
Write that down.
Yeah. So anyway, J.K. Rowling was giving an interview with Christiane Amanpour on CNN, and she revealed that she has this like lost manuscript type thing that came about because she was throwing herself a birthday party. And as one does. And she held it around Halloween, even though her birthday is actually July 31st. She had this party on Halloween, and she dressed up and went as a lost manuscript. Her dress was just covered in writing, and it's this, you know, political fairy tale-esque story. And she said that she might turn it into something, but as of right now, it is hanging in her closet. So she has a manuscript written on a dress hanging in her closet. Like, how more magical can this woman be?
Like, she's the Leslie Knope of fantasy literature.
That, like, is such a great way to describe her.
Because I'm picturing, like, Leslie Knope's wedding dress from Parks and Rec with all of her, like, memos, the one that Anne makes her. Like, I'm picturing that as a manuscript, and I'm like, my God. Like, it's sitting in her closet, guys.
That's so great. Yes, that is the perfect way to describe it. And actually, the type of dress that I was picturing was Leslie Knope's dress, and I couldn't figure out where I got the image from, and that's exactly where it's from.
Yeah. It's a hard image to lose. Like, you know, like, it's like, yeah, that's the one. That's what I'm seeing in my head.
Yeah. So, stay tuned. She doesn't actually know if the book will ever be published or if she's going to work on it again, but it's there. It's hanging in her closet. So,
if somebody someday decides to raid her closet and publish a book,
there's a book in there.
Just hanging out, literally.
Yeah, yes, literally just hanging out. All right. And then, Kristen, do you want to take this next news item?
Yes. Passion Flicks, which we have kind of talked about before, has released its first movie trailer. Yes, it's not actually the movie yet. We're getting there. They're slowly curating this, you know, this collection of titles. It seems left and right these days. Every time I turn around, somebody else's stuff has been optioned for Passion Flicks, which is, again, a terrible name, and I'm sorry, but I can't stop saying it. It's terrible. But I'm really excited about it. I watched the trailer for Hollywood Dirt, which is the first trailer that we've gotten, and it's actually really well done. Like, I'm a little worried about this whole endeavor, and I'm worried about it turning into, like, a Lifetime-esque thing. I know that people have appreciation for Lifetime movies, but it also, you know, people kind of think about those as, like, they're a joke. Like, they're a thing you watch on Saturdays or Sundays when there's nothing on, and, you know, people make fun of them. And these stories are so, you know, they're labors of love. And I know so many of these authors, like, through reading, like, you feel like you know them. And I want this to go over well. I want people to actually, like, get into this and not just like, oh, it's that channel with all those stupid romances on it. Like, I want it to be taken seriously. So I really love the trailer. It's really well done. It looks great. And I really hope that this, you know, is just good. It is just sharing more and more good news for us. Like, I really hope that this is the start of a lot of really solid adaptations, since, you know, TV and movies can't keep up with the romance genre, despite, you know, them having some really great stuff that they could option to make into great movies. They just can't keep up. So this will be a nice way, hopefully, for us to see more and more of our favorite characters hit the screen.
Yeah, and I am definitely guilty of being a Hallmark movie all day, Saturday, Sunday type of person. So
People don't respect it, and I want everyone to respect these, and I don't see it, and it's worrying me. I have worries.
Yeah, I definitely feel that, and I'm looking forward to checking out some of the stuff on Passion Flicks, because I think the stories that they're going to be adapting have a lot more substance than the 45 scripts that a Hallmark channel can churn out in a month.
Yeah. That's honest. That's definitely true. I haven't read Hollywood Dirt. I know of it. It's sitting on my Kindle. I'm pretty sure I got it for free or for a dollar or something a while back. But I have not yet read it. So, you know, even I was watching this with, like, fresh eyes. Like, I have no idea what's happening, but I've heard good things about it. So we'll see.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to checking it out, and hopefully, like you said, it'll just take off and be better and set a new groundwork for what Lifetime and Hallmark Channel should be doing. But sure. Please don't change Hallmark Channel. I love your movies.
Don't change it. I love it. Don't stop. Hey, everybody, there's room for everyone.
Yes, there's room for everyone. Lifetime could step it up a bit, though. Anyway, back to books and adaptations, of course. So Little Women is getting another adaptation at the BBC, which I'm kind of thrilled about. I loved Little Women, and I have – Little Women's one of my favorite books that I own. Not in terms of, like, story, while, yes, it's great and stuff like that. It's just I own this beautiful copy of Little Women. It's so pretty, and I love it so much. And it's old. It's, like, from – I don't even know where we got it. My mom had it for a long time, and I don't know if it was hers. I have to ask and figure it out, but it is so pretty. It was one of my favorite books to just have and, like, look at and hold. It has, like, illustrations throughout it. It's really cool. But anyway – they're going to be adapting it on the BBC, and it's starring some pretty big names. I recently announced it's Michael Gambon from, you know, of course, Harry Potter, and Angela Lansbury.
The Queen.
It's a lot. I saw Angela Lansbury on stage in a play with Eric McCormack and James Earl Jones, so just take a minute to appreciate that.
Yeah. But
it was like seeing Mrs. Potts in real life, and it just hurt my heart a lot because it was so great. I love her. I love Murder, She Wrote so much. I love her, and I can't wait to see this. Yeah, they're adapting it, you know, classic BBC style. It will be beat for beat. So, you know, it's not going to be a crazy adaptation. It's going to be pretty straightforward to the book. And some other names that are in the cast are Willa Fitzgerald from Scream, who's going to be playing Meg. Maya Hawke is going to be playing Jo. Anne's Uli is Beth. And Big Little Lies actress Catherine Newton is going to be playing Amy. And I guess we should mention that Angela Lansbury will be playing Aunt March. And that Gambon will be playing the neighbor, Mr. Lawrence. So, you know, just to put some names to the faces of who you can expect to see next year. So early 2018, I believe, is when it'll be coming to the BBC One. And then, you know, 18 years later, it'll come to the US, but you could probably watch it early.
Yeah. It's been so long since I read Little Women. Like, I remember the story, but I also don't. So I'm definitely interested in checking this guy out because Angela Lansbury, like, come on.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong. You just can't. It's a power force. You know, that casting is going to be great. And the BBC always does. BBC is probably one of the networks that I trust to do any adaptation, which is why I'm very excited that they have the His Dark Materials adaptation now. So I do trust the BBC a lot. I know a lot of people are burned by the BBC, but I think it's the showrunners behind it.
I think people are getting more excited about what the BBC has to offer in the post Moffat era.
Yes, exactly.
Like, now that he's moved out of Doctor Who and Sherlock is basically done, you know, I think people are more excited about it. And yeah, I have never been a huge like BBC adaptation watcher, but everyone who sees them swears by them, like loves them. The people who, you know, love the Pride and Prejudice adaptation, and like I never stop hearing about it. So yeah, I've always heard good things about BBC's adaptations. So
yeah, they're pretty great. And most recently, the And Then There Were None was three parts, unbelievable. It was so good. I didn't even know it was going to come to the US, so I watched it online when it was happening in the UK, and then they aired it in the US on, I believe, A&E and Lifetime.
Nice.
And I think a lot of people were like, oh, Lifetime's doing it, and then they were not. I'm like, no, it's the BBC, it's gonna be good, watch it. Like, I just kept trying to tell people to watch it, because all of a sudden I saw advertisements with Lifetime logo on it, and I was like, no, please, like we were just saying, like with the Lifetime reputation, it's like, no, this is coming from the BBC. This is the outlet that they're airing it on here. Just watch it. Cause it's so good. And it's so just dark.
Do it.
Yeah. It's great. Again, you know, you're never going to go wrong with like the powerhouse of British actors who are always willing to do BBC adaptations, because it's like 5 weeks out of their life and it's like three long episodes and then they're done. You know, it's,
yeah,
they, it, it, British television is a whole different animal.
It really is.
Yeah. Okay. So that's all we have for our book news. The only other item that we kind of took off of here is that Fantastic Beasts has started filming. So yay.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much Harry Potter to keep up with that it's nice to hear that they've started. We'll, you know, hopefully this means that we'll be getting a trailer and, you know, give them a month or two of shooting and we'll start seeing things.
I just wish Johnny Depp was just so far away from this movie, but
I know we all do basically.
Okay. Well, anyway, we will be back soon with all things San Diego Comic-Con. So when Karen returns, we will be talking to her about Comic-Con. Maybe we'll have a few other people who attended Comic-Con come on and chat with us because, you know, Kristen and I can only keep up so much with what's going on at Comic-Con from a distance. So
yeah,
they'll be able to give us the firsthand experience of the show floor and all the panels that they saw and, you know, some adaptation news. Cause I know The Magicians was there and, everything was there. Let's just be real. I'm not even going to try to name what was there.
Everything I was going to say, there. Yeah, you'll be here all day.
Yeah. And then at the end of July, which is coming up a lot faster than I'd like to think about, we're going to be doing our book club book. We're bringing back book club. If you haven't listened to our book club episode, please check it out. We're going to do Roar by Cora Carmack because we talk about it every episode. So why not talk about it for a full episode?
I mean, I want to point out that I have not yet talked about it in this episode. I was holding back. I could have. But I didn't because, yeah. But yeah, I'm really excited. And I know that some of our listeners have been reading because I know Laura Morrow especially likes to tell me when she reads important parts of the book. And she liked it a lot. I don't know if she's done yet, but everything she says seems to be a positive. So yay. And I hope everybody else loves it too.
Yeah, so be sure to check that out. And
if you have any Roar love, just send it my way.
Send it to Kristen. I'm going to try and read it maybe this week, next weekend-ish, because I'm afraid to check the Book Hype Twitter sometimes, because I feel like people are always screaming at Kristen for their books that they've read that she's recommended, and I'm like, I haven't read it yet!
It just makes me happy. I'm like, thank God people aren't like, oh my God, what are you reading? Like, what is wrong with you? It's like, I like that people also like my books. It's like, yes! Perfect recommendation. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you'll get through this pretty quick. It's a quick read. Once you get started, it just flies.
I know.
Like, I basically read it in an afternoon at a convention. Like, I sat in the sun and read this book and just died. So
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. So yeah, be sure to check that out. And until we return, I'm Brittany.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye.
Bye.